Today we will continue our teaching on prayer, as you probably expected we would. And we've been talking about praying for ourselves. Last Sunday, I gave you a list of 7 categories to help give direction to praying for yourself. And they were, in this order, help me prayers, teach me prayers, proactive and preparatory prayers, corrective prayers, confession prayers, Bible reading and meditation prayers, and fellowship with God prayers. So my goal today is to begin working through that list one at a time, and we'll get through the first 2 today. I hope to give you sufficient examples of each item on the list so that it will be of benefit to you to consider. Help me prayers and teach me prayers as we look at that today. And before jumping into that, let's ask God to speak to us. Father, it's by your grace that we live and breathe and have our being. It's by your grace that we have the Word of God, not just in print, but in living form. Living form that speaks to our mind and our heart. Father, it's by your grace that you are known by us, that we're able to grasp your self-revelation and interact with you. Teach us more of that interaction today, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. The first section of help me prayers, of teach me prayer, I'm sorry, the first section of praying for ourselves is the help me prayers, and the second is the teach me. Help me prayers are sometimes urgent, spur-of-the-moment prayers, dealing directly with what is happening at that moment. You know, we just breathe out or scream out a prayer to God based on current circumstances. But help me prayers can also be prolonged, persistent prayers aimed at asking God for help in a particular area. And when your help me prayers are prolonged, persistent prayers, it may be because you have not yet received the help you're asking for, and you're remaining persistent, like the widow before the judge. You're remaining persistent in your request. Or it may be because you've not reached the level or extent of help you desire. You're on the way to receiving some and more, but you have a goal. You have some place you'd like to get to. I want to remind all of us that to pray for help is commended to us by the Scriptures, by God Himself. We are to turn to Him for help. But to pray for help and then to continue thinking and behaving in a manner that is contrary to your prayer, that is, to continue making the prayer for help while acting against the prayer itself, exposes 2 serious weaknesses or flaws in us. First, it exposes a dishonesty. If you're willing to exercise what self-discipline you have in regard to the area where you are seeking help, then you're not of 2 minds. You're of 1 mind, wanting help, but admittedly still wanting what you ought not to want, and you're working away from what you ought not to want towards what you ought to want and asking God for help in that. But if you're unwilling to exercise that self-control, then you are of 2 minds. You're not single-minded. And you're working against yourself. You're praying one thing and in your other desires working against that. That's dishonest. Second, it's foolish. It is foolish in that you're praying for God to help you against your will as proven by your unchallenged thoughts and behavior. I spent some period of time in my early Christian years looking for the magic wand, wanting God to change me against my will, knowing that I didn't really want to be different, but I ought to be different, and I would ask God to make me different. At least in my life, he never did. And as I began to press him as to why, it became apparent to me that God wasn't going to change me against my will. I had to bring my will in line with his will. I had to want what he wanted. I may want it imperfectly. I may be at the very edges of beginning to want what he wanted, but I had to at least step into that arena and begin to want what he wanted. An example is, if you ask God to help you lose weight, and you don't start eating less and exercising more, then your request is both dishonest and foolish. Or if you ask God to help ease your anxiety and stress in relation to a certain situation, but you take no serious steps to resist the anxious thoughts that bombard your mind, in other words, you just receive them and mull them over, or you project future doom without putting a stop to that, your request is dishonest and foolish. So keep that in mind as we look at the help me prayers. All right, I broke them up into three groups. The urgent spur of the moment need for help, we'll look at first. That may be a physical need. You're sick. Something physically is happening to you. And you're just crying out to God for this immediate help in this situation. It could be a social need. You're in a social setting and things are going downhill real fast and you need God's help. You want God's help to somehow get through this setting and at least do reasonably well and not alienate everybody or become a source of pain and misery in everybody else's life who's there. It could be a mechanical fix and repair need. I've certainly cried out to God for help when I'm working on the car or trying to fix something around the house that I have really no expertise in. I've seen God answer many of those prayers, and I'm truly grateful for that. It could be a need for protection or even direction when lost. I know that, you know, men are famous for not asking directions, so we're wise to travel with our wives. But, you know, when we are lost and we need that help, that's a good reason to cry out to God for help in finding your way or for protection when things seem to be getting pretty scary or something bad seems about to happen. Maybe it's a urgent need in terms of a service that you're giving to somebody else. Take that to the Lord. Could be a witnessing need. You're talking to somebody and you want to sow some seed into their life, but you're not sure what to say next. That's a spur-of-the-moment need. Cry out to God for help, for wisdom, for insight, for words to say. Could be a teaching others type of a need. Maybe you're in a setting where you're teaching somebody something about the Scriptures or God, or maybe about science or math, and you're lost. You just don't know what to do next. Ask God for help. Could be a counseling or advice-giving need. Maybe you need wisdom for that moment or insight. Many is the time that I've been sitting with somebody or a couple and listening to their story, and, you know, I just don't know what to say next. And for me, that's a time to cry out to the Lord and say, I need your help. Give me some wisdom here, some insight. I need to know what to say next. I need to know what direction to go with this conversation or session that we're having. Maybe it's an occasion where you're trying to give comfort to somebody. Those can be pretty tricky situations. Ask God for the wisdom, for the grace, the sensitivity, the insight to say things and act in ways that are truly of comfort to those in need of that kind of care. Could be a parenting need, and maybe for a specific situation. ongoing parenting needs fits into another category here of help me, but in the urgent, spare of the moment needs, you know, sometimes the kid is just acting crazy or you have no idea what to do. Ask God for his help in that situation. Could be a need for direction and wisdom when facing a conflict or other kind of relational situations. You know, we're relational people and we're in relationships on an ongoing basis. And conflicts come up from time to time. If you don't know what to do, pray. Pray for wisdom. You know, you don't have to close your eyes. You don't have to fold your hands. You don't have to get on your knees. You can keep listening to the other person and start praying at the same time. I know, you know, we're not all skilled at this, but according to science, our mind can think twice as fast as we can speak. So you can be listening to somebody talking to you and still having other thoughts go through your mind, such as talking to God. You can fit them in between the words, if nothing else. But those are times when it's good to pray. You're in that relational situation where it's the conflict is brewing and things are just flying apart. Cry out to God. Maybe you need the anointing of His Holy Spirit for a specific task, such as some service that God has called you to do, and you're starting to act on that and it's not going well and you need His empowerment, His help, His strength for that. Or maybe you're speaking and you long for that work of the Holy Spirit in that setting. Pray for that. Could be an immediate need to say no to a specific temptation, especially those that seem exceedingly strong. Let me just give you a short list here of temptations. If none of them apply to you, think of your own. But I thought of many that apply to me, such as a pressing temptation to become impatient or angry, controlling, unkind in response to unkindness, or returning evil for evil. Or you might be tempted to withdraw when you should continue giving love and staking in the relationship. Or to attack or defend instead of remaining calm and listening to a complaint or criticism. Could be a temptation to feel jealous or envious or greedy or bitter, or to be fearful instead of trusting God. Or it might be a temptation toward immorality of some kind, or pride, or whatever your temptations are. At those moments, if you're feeling weak, you're unprepared, you should go into them prepared. But if you haven't, cry out to God. Ask for His help to get through that temptation. Or it could be a longing for help in understanding something you just read from the Scriptures. As you read the Word of God and something stands out to you, but you're not sure what it really means, pray, ask God to show you what that means, to help you in that way. The second area of help me prayers that I have is prolonged, persistent help me prayers, but not yet received. In other words, we're continuing to ask, but we haven't received them. Here's just a list of things that could be. You can come up with your own kinds of lists yourself. You know, go with this wherever God takes you, or you need feel you need to go with these kinds of prayers. But prolonged, persistent, not yet received type needs could be a financial need. Maybe you're hurting financially and you just have been crying out to God to help with that. Could be an employment need, such as getting a job or getting a particular job or a particular position. I've often thought that we as Christians, we could take employment that frees us up to serve the Lord in ways beyond our employment. Two of the things that I've often considered as possibilities would be a fireman. If you work the old traditional fireman hours, you work a 24-hour shift and you're off for 24 hours, but in the course of a week, the most you would work is 3 24-hour days. Usually it's 2, and then the other weeks it's 2 24-hour days. So there's that, what they call the Kelly days. You got a lot of time off. It's not always the same days, so you can't be as committed to a schedule of activity that helps others. But many firemen have a lot of free time to be involved in the lives of other people and to do God's service in that kind of a way. Another thing is I used to wash windows, janitor kind of work. There's jobs that you can get where you can make enough money to live on. Of course, you have to be willing to live on a little less, but make enough money to live on while having free time to do other things. And I think that's, if that's something you really desire, pray for that and see where God takes you with that. To me, it's worthy to pray for the kind of job or the kind of position within a job that helps you live a better Christian life or gives you more free time for serving others. And I'm not excessively promoting that today, although I have planted that seed before. Prolonged, persistent, not yet received prayers could be for an earthly possession, such as a home or the need of a car or clothes or particular furnishings in a home or some other possessions that seem truly needful. Could be direction for life or a job or for Christian service or even who to marry. Those are things that are well worth praying about. I've believed for many years that when we hit college age, we face three significant decisions. What we're going to do, where we're going to live, and who we're going to marry. And those three decisions seriously affect our lives. Not just momentarily, but for years to come. What we're going to do, where we're going to live, who we're going to marry. I mean, think about that. Those are three things that I think are worthy to pray about, to take to the Lord and ask for His help and direction. Could be a physical healing for what seems like a nagging illness. Keep praying, and if it's not healing, also ask God to help you see why He's not healing it. Why is He leaving that illness? Remember, Paul prayed for healing, for relief from his thorn in the flesh, and God said, no, I'm going to leave that with you because it's to your spiritual benefit. Maybe God has the same thing for you, but sometimes our prolonged persistent, not yet received prayers have to do with physical healing. Could be for emotional or mental health. Maybe you have challenges with depression or irrational fears or such things as that. Pray about that until it's resolved in your life. Maybe there's an ongoing evangelistic effort with a family member or a neighbor or a coworker or a friend. Those are things to keep praying for until they come to pass. Could be a longing to have a genuinely broken and humble heart over sins committed. Not many of us weep over our sin, but there is a great spiritual benefit to getting to that place in your life. And it's not necessarily an easy place to get to. We're not naturally that way. That's a worthy thing to pray for. That kind of attitude, that kind of mindset, that kind of sense towards God, feeling towards God, to be able to truly have a broken and contrite heart over sins committed. It could be the hatred of a particular sin that you want to be free of, yet still love, or at least still prefer over doing what you know is right. Many is the time I've asked God to help me to hate a particular sin in my life that I know needs to be thrown out, but the reality is I like it, I want it, I prefer it. And it's like, yes, I have self-discipline, and I can work against what I love, like, prefer, but it's a whole lot better to stop preferring, stop loving it, stop wanting it. And I've asked God for help with that, and I would encourage you to consider that same kind of a thing should you have that need. And it could be a freedom from a fear or desire or a habit that you know diminishes your faith in God or produces unloving behavior in you. Prolonged, persistent, but not yet received. Because when they are received, you quit praying for it naturally. All right, and the third area of help me prayers, prolonged, persistent, but not yet arrived at the desired level or degree or amount that you really want. An example of this would be a growth in parenting skills. Sure, God's given you help, but you realize Boy, you need more help. There's further to go in learning how to be a good parent or dealing with a specific child's needs. That can take some time and effort to get to a level of understanding and thinking and believing in yourself to be able to do that. So yes, you've started to pray for it. You haven't gotten as far as you'd like to get, so you keep praying for it. Could be praying for further growth in loving and living peaceably with a spouse or with a child or with a friend or with a coworker. There are people in our lives where, yes, you know, we can have a reasonably good relationship with them, but it's challenging, it's difficult, and it's hard to live in a loving and peaceable way with that person. That's something to continue asking God to teach you and build into you so that you can get there one day. Maybe it's prayer for an increase in overall wisdom for living the Christian life, or in parenting, or in serving other people, or specific wisdom in helping others deal with life in light of their own situations and mindset. One of the things that I believe is reasonable to do with God, and that is if God gave Solomon X amount of wisdom, at least let God know you want that much. I mean, it's most helpful to have more wisdom. So don't go small on the request. Lay out before God how much wisdom you want. And, you know, Solomon's kind of like the beginning of the measurement, right? So you could say, give me at least that much, or I need more. You know, if you're willing to give Solomon that much, I need more for this situation. Talk to God. Tell him that you need this wisdom. And oftentimes, wisdom comes incrementally. So keep praying. Don't quit. Pray and pray and pray. And grow in that wisdom. Could be a desire for pride to be put out and humility to be put in its place. Not that we think this way deliberately, but there is a lot of pride in the human nature. It's in all of us. And it's not easily eradicated. Indeed, it may stay with us until our dying breath. So to me, that's something that we can pray for over a prolonged and persistent period of time as we seek to get to that place where pride is so small and humility so great that the pride is hardly noticeable at all. Maybe you want not just hatred for a specific sin, but to love righteousness. And you need that help from God to love that righteousness. Even though you know what's right, loving what's right is truly valuable. Could be for growth in your life so that your Christianity touches every part of your being. You know, it's one thing to be Christian in certain areas of our life. It's another thing to have that faith, that Christian life, that holiness of God to touch all of our areas. Now, obviously, you can't be aware of what you're not aware of, and I'm not asking you to be, but if we are aware, if I'm aware, if you're aware of an area of life that God needs to touch, his righteousness needs to impact, and it's not happening, that's not whole life. And it's worth praying for, having God work his will and way into our being so that it touches all of our being, all of our life. Maybe you need confidence or faith in God. Confidence that he is good, that his ways do work, that he is in control, that there is no wiser way to go than God's way, that regardless of the cost, it is worth living according to his will and word. That kind of faith, that kind of confidence is worth praying for, asking God to help you get to that place where you trust him in that kind of a way. And of course, I think we can always be praying for further conformity to the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. One other thing that I would add to this is that we can be praying that God would help us understand His Word as He intends it to be understood and applied to our life. If you're interested in theology, fine, ask God to teach you theology. But more important than theology is the application of the Word of God to our lives in the everyday experiences of life. Pray for that. And we could pray for that until we die. There's a hymn that I want to read to you about prayer, and specifically help me prayers. This may not seem like a help me prayer, but listen to it anyway. It really is. It's a great hymn. It's called In the Hour of Trial, written by James Montgomery. And it's interesting to me that many of the hymns that I think are worthy of our consideration come from the 1700s and 1800s. Very few are current. In the hour of trial, Jesus, plead for me. Lest by base denial I depart from thee. When you see me waver, with a look recall. Nor for fear or favor, in other words, out of fear or seeking the acceptance and approval or favor of others, don't let me fall. When forbidden pleasures would this vain world charm, or its sordid treasures spread to work me harm, bring to my remembrance sad Gethsemane. So he starts there. He said, you know, when the world's attracting me and pulling me in the wrong direction and inviting me to go where I shouldn't go, let me remember the agony of Christ and the time of prayer in Gethsemane. Or in darker semblance. In other words, if I don't get the message from that, bring to my remembrance cross-crowned Calvary. Let me see Christ dying for this sin, so that I would say no to the world. Should thy mercy send me sorrow, toil, and woe, or should pain attend me on my path below, grant that I may never fail thy hand to see. Grant that I may ever cast my care on thee. When my last hour cometh fraught with strife and pain, when my dust returneth to the dust again, on thy truth relying through that mortal strife, Jesus, take me dying to eternal life. There's many times that we can cry out to God for help, and all of this to say, do it. Pray. Pray often. Cry out to God for help. All right, let's look at Teach Me Prayers. Teach Me Prayers have been, for me, a significant source of learning, what I do not know, but I'm sure I need to know, or would be better off knowing as a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, Teach Me Prayers often come about, in my life at least, as a result of some immediate perceived need. But they also can come about because of a long-term expectation. In other words, I'm looking forward to what's coming. And I want to pray for that as well, to be taught how to handle what's coming out ahead of me. And one of the things that you can be pretty certain of, Teach Me Prayers will take time. Not to pray them, but to receive the answer. Just like higher education takes time. It's a process. For me, there are two major areas of Teach Me Prayers. Known need, based on recognized deficiency or longing, or perceived need, as I just said, based on the expectation of what's ahead. And let me give you two examples from my own life before giving some suggestions of what you might pray for in terms of teach me prayers. Many years ago, I started a window washing business. Nobody ever taught me how to wash windows. I didn't go and learn from anybody, didn't read a book about it. I wanted to do two things with that window washing business. I wanted to earn money, and I wanted to have time to pursue God. And so I needed to, if I was going to earn money, I had to do a good job. So I asked God to teach me how to wash windows. And I prayed that until I was certain that the customers were real happy with my work and that I could wash windows as well as a perfectionist could, you know, because that's my nature. But I also wanted a second thing, and that is I wanted to use my time on the job to memorize scripture, meditate, pray about where I was, what I was dealing with, and work on sin in my life, and just pray to God about a whole variety of things. So I wanted to be able to do a good job washing windows when my mind was someplace else. And so what I did was I asked God to teach me how to do just that, how to wash windows well with my mind on things that to me mattered a whole lot more than the washing windows. And God did that. That's it for me, a teach me prayer. It was one of the early ones. And that had to be 38 years ago. For many years, this is the second example, I've had a keen interest in human nature from the time I was 14 and read my first psychology book. Somehow that kind of spurred my interest in human nature and why people do what they do and why they think what they think. That's been a part of my life since my early teen years. And maybe that's something that God placed in me. I don't know. I'm not saying it was or it wasn't, but it's been part of my being for many years. When I first became a Christian, and I placed that not when I first prayed the prayer, but when I actually repented and became a Christian, which I was about 22 at the time. When I first became a Christian, I began to really dig into the Word of God. And as I was reading, especially in the started in the Gospels, you know, here's Jesus, he's doing something, there's a crowd there, and the Pharisees are either standing or sitting, you know, somewhere nearby, and he's discerning what's in their mind. And I began to think, you know, God, that's an ability that would just be marvelous to have, to understand what people are thinking and what they really mean by what they say. You know, what's really going on inside in spite of the outward show that they're giving. So I began to ask God to teach me to do that. Now, I don't think God ever gave me the ability to read anybody's mind. I don't have that ability. I don't pretend to have the ability. I don't claim to have that ability. But I do believe that God has answered that prayer in helping me understand what is going on inside of people and to be able to see past what they're saying to what they may really wish to be saying or what they're feeling and thinking and to understand people from that perspective. And again, that was an early teach me prayer. And for me, as far as I see life, God has answered that prayer. Most of my teach me prayers over the years have been based on spiritual needs, things that I wanted God to teach me in order to live a better Christian life. But without question, some have been based on earthly temporal needs, such as we needed income, we needed money to pay for the house, buy the food, get the clothes, drive the car, and so I needed to be able to wash windows well or whatever it was that we were doing for employment. So certainly teach me in terms of earthly, temporal needs has also been a part of my teach me praying. And I want to encourage you to take some time. This is something that I would encourage you to think about, you know, not just say, okay, what can I pray about? Can't think of anything, so you go your way. But I would encourage you to take some time and think about what you need to learn in order to do something better, something that will make you maybe a better child or a better parent or a better spouse or a better neighbor or a better worker, better friend, especially a better Christian. I was in a conversation just this past week with a fella, and was asking him how his walk with God was going and what was happening, and he was describing his current situation as being very busy. I mean, he's just up to his eyeballs in activities, and you know, every minute something's going on. And he acknowledged that it wasn't too much. He still had enough time to do it all, but he just every once in a while wanted a break, wanted to rest, and it was becoming wearing on him. And he began to talk about feeling somewhat stressed at times because of what he was facing and up against. And not because of what I'm teaching on currently here at the church, but just because this is the way I think and what was on my mind. I asked him, well, what have you been praying about in relation to this situation? What have you been asking God to help you with? And he said, well, the thing that I've been praying about is that God would help me manage my time really well. And I thought, you know, that's a good prayer. So I affirmed that. I said, you know, that's a really good thing to pray for. I said, but the way I look at it, that's like dealing with the outside of the cup. What about inside? Is there something you could also pray about in terms of what's going on inside of you? And he thought for a moment, and I mean, no prompting, no anything, all by himself, he said, you know, I've always been anxious. I can always think about things in an anxious, fearful way, and that's what I'm doing. I said, that's something you could pray about the inside of you. Yeah, time management's great, but if you're living in this mental turmoil inside, how can you be at peace? He said, well, you know, I've known peace on rare occasions. I said, well, that's good, because then you know what it looks like. But if you're going to get there, you need God's help. So that's an example of a teach me prayer. Those would be two. Teach me how to use my time well. Yes, excellent. Good prayer, teach me prayer. But also, let's look at our own spiritual health needs and ask God what we could pray for if we can't come up with some ourselves in terms of what's going on inside. What does God need to teach me in order to be a better Christian? All right, here's some examples. From Psalm 119, let me give you three scriptures. Psalm 119, verse 66. By the way, in Psalm 119, he prays, teach me your law or statutes 9 times. In that chapter, 9 times he prays that. So that's a pretty good prayer. We could change statutes or law, teach me your word. But understanding God's word and will is important. And 9 times he prays that in that chapter. Verse 66. 119:66. Teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Teach me good discernment and knowledge. That's something worth asking for. Teach me the way in which I should walk, for to you I lift up my soul. And teach me to do your will, for you are my God. And here's some suggestions for me. Teach me to believe to the point of having a settled confidence that I am safe in your hands because you are my provider and protector. To be convinced that we are safe in God's hands, that is faith. And I encourage you to ask God to teach you how to get to that place. Teach me how to think that way, to feel that way, to be that way. Teach me an accurate understanding of your largeness and greatness and goodness, God. Oh, that we would see God as huge in all of his greatness as much as we humanly can. You may not want to write all these down. You can find them on the internet, by the way. Save your writing. Teach me a healthy fear. To have a healthy fear of God and a right view of the love of God, both at the same time. To have a healthy view of fearing God and knowing his love. Teach me that, God. Teach me to apply your word in the most practical ways to my thinking, my values, my desires, my words, and my deeds. You know, words and deeds are great, but we have values. We have desires and thoughts passing through our head all the time. Teach me to apply your word in the most practical ways to those things. Teach me to be grateful for what I have to the point that what I don't have doesn't limit my gratefulness. You know, it's very easy to be ungrateful and unhappy. It's another thing to realize you don't have certain things, and maybe even more than that, but not lose your gratitude, your gratefulness, your praise and thanks to God. Teach me that, God. Teach me to rest in your care, grace, and strength, especially in the midst of trials and tribulations. We are by nature people who want to avoid difficulty. An easier life is what we desire. But trials and tribulation, those are the fires that purify us, that make us what God wants us to be. Teach me to rest in your care, grace, and strength, God, in those situations. Teach me to value spiritual lessons and growth above ease of life or earthly happiness or anything else that's less. We can't learn the really worthy treasures, lessons of God without going through difficult times. It's not going to happen. Teach me how to prepare for each day so that I'm not caught off guard when common or expected temptations come my way. Right? That's a good lesson to learn. Teach me what I need to know to be prepared for each day. Teach me to love you, God, as you deserve to be loved. To me, that's a challenge. I make no claim to be there yet, to love God as he deserves to be loved, but that's, to me, a worthy direction to head in, and to ask God to teach me how to do that. And teach me to love others as I ought to love them for God's sake. It's taken me a number of years to figure out that I too easily responded to people according to the way they treated me, rather than according to the way God is. And there's a difference, you know. I want to love others according to who God is, not according to the way they're treating me. Teach me, God, to do that. Teach me to say no to sin for the sake of love, for the sake of righteousness, and for the sake of God's honor. Yes, I can say no to sin because I know it's wrong and for the sake of self-discipline. I have some self-discipline and I can exercise it. But I would like to get to the place where I say no to sin for the sake of love and righteousness and the honor of God. Teach me to speak the truth in love without compromising the truth or diminishing love. You know, we can fall off on either side of that too easy. We can speak the truth and diminish love, or we can choose love and compromise the truth. How do we learn to do both? Ask God to teach you how to do that. Teach me to listen in such a way as to hear what people mean by what they're saying. People say things in such nebulous ways. Nebulous means kind of out there, cloudy, it's hard to define, there's no borders to it. Well, ask God to teach you how to listen to what they're saying so that you can hear what they mean in spite of the nebulous way they're saying it. Many people are trying to tell you no, by the way. They just don't say it real clear. And it's very easy for us to take what they're telling us as, well, they'll go along with it and they'll be fine. When they're really trying to say no. And one of the things we Christians can do is to listen alertly. Listen carefully and figure out that, you know, this person really doesn't want to do what I'm suggesting. Okay, they're pretending they want to go along or they're trying to be nice, but they're really trying to tell me no. That's just an example. Learning how to listen. It's a good thing to learn. Ask God to teach you. Teach me to see and hear God as He sees and hears me. I've spoken of fellowship with God. He sees and hears us. Ask God to teach you to be able to see and hear Him in that, at least a similar way, so it seems as real as He has towards you. The last thing on that is teach me to have a humble confidence. You know, we need confidence in life. It's a good thing to have. But a prideful confidence and arrogance is wrong. It's against God. It's God sets Himself against you if you have that. But pray for a humble confidence. It's good to have confidence. Pray for a loving honesty. Pray for godly values. Teach me to have godly values, Father. And ask God to teach you to have pure motives. Just to give you four of my own that I'm currently praying on a regular basis. I'm asking God to teach me how to love Him and what's required of me to love Him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Teach me that. I'm asking God to teach me to love righteousness and hate lawlessness. Not just hate sin. I need that too. But to hate lawlessness, to hate any rebellion against God, wherever it is, first of all in me. It's got to be first in me. But I'd like to feel bad, hate lawlessness wherever it exists. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. A marvelous prayer. But how do we get there if we don't hate lawlessness, which is rebellion against God's rule? Third thing I've been praying is teach me what is required to walk in the way of a pure heart. Teach me what's required of me to walk in the way of a pure heart. I know a lot of stuff, and I need to do it all up to what I know, but I would like to know more. And the last one is teach me to be meek and humble of heart like Christ. There's a hymn that we sing. You'll probably know the words. I want to read it to you as we close this part. Teach me your way, O Lord. This is by Mansell Ramsey. Teach me your way, O Lord. Teach me your way. Your guiding grace afford. Teach me your way. Help me to walk aright, more by faith, less by sight. Lead me with heavenly light. Teach me your way. When I am sad at heart, teach me your way. When earthly joys depart, teach me your way of dealing with that. In hours of loneliness, in times of dire distress, in failure or success, teach me your way. When doubts and fears arise, teach me your way. When storm clouds fill the skies, teach me your way. shine through the wind and rain, through sorrow, grief, and pain. Make now my pathway plain. Teach me your way. As long as my life shall last, teach me your way. Where'er my lot be cast, teach me your way. Until the race is run, until the journey's done, until the crown is won, teach me your way. There's a lot of praying that we can do around the themes of help me and teach me. If you don't know where to start, or you find it hard to move further than you are in regard to either of those two themes, turn to God in prayer. Ask Him to teach you how to pray. The disciples did. Jesus answered. He responded. We can too. Let's bow together in prayer.